that guy ain't shit. Sorry ass motherfucker got nothing on me, right? Nothing.
Where the stars in this piece of shit?
I am Big Kev.
Why do they call you Big Kev?
Ooh. I am OG.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
I am Scapegoat.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
OG's not actually racist against many people.
There is no racial bigotry here. Here you are all equally worthless.
I'm not really angry all the time.
This is Kevin destroying the Toy Beast Legends box set.
Fucking garbage! Why?
You know how I know that you're gay?
How? Because you're gay and you can tell who other gay people are?
I know it's fun. You're like, hey, I found buttons. Let's push them to piss me off.
I have Amigo Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis.
BigKevsGeekStuff.com.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
Hello.
How's it going?
Good, good. Coming to you live from not South by Southwest.
Yes, we are here in not Austin, Texas.
That's right.
To talk to you about all of the groundbreaking, awesome things that we're not seeing that are happening there.
Correct.
That's what we're going to not talk about today.
that is absolutely correct.
Yep.
South by Southwest.
Yep.
It's big as it's always been, but is it as big as it's always been because of the festival itself? Or because of the drunken debauchery that it's partnered with regarding spring break?
No, I think it's still as big. I don't think it used to be the first place, like Twitter launched there.
Right.
Not literally, but it blew up there and Foursquare blew up there. And apparently there's an app this year that blew up also, but mostly that doesn't happen, called Meerkat.
I have no idea what that is. Yeah. Oh, no, I do.
You can live stream shit to Twitter people. That's what it's supposed to be. I have not used it at all. But
no.
I don't think anything, now that the internet is so prevalent, can really launch anything anymore.
No.
So it's big and there's still a lot of panels and a lot of stuff, but there's not like gigantic announcements coming out of there as far as I know. There's a lot of interesting panels. Like they had a Toy Story panel where they talked about the whole evolution of how they made Toy Story, which was kind of interesting. But
I always thought South by Southwest was more of a music festival. When did it become a media festival?
Well, they started adding like technology and video games, and there's virtual reality shit.
Was that this year or was that last year?
No, that was a couple years ago? Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
And I think the tech upstart, all that kind of shit grew more and more because Austin is naturally hipster-esque.
Right.
And the music part still happens, but I think Austin City Limits is bigger for that.
Okay.
For just music.
Because I saw an article
earlier
this week.
There's also film. They do everything there.
I know they do film. Yeah. That I knew that they were doing. It was not film festival level, but they were like smaller style things. But I read something earlier this week that said, will South by Southwest overtake San Diego going forward?
What? But they're not comparable.
Of course they're not comparable. And that's why I thought the article was ridiculous.
One's in a convention center and the other is an entire city.
Right, right. And while I guess you can draw some comparisons regarding some of the content and, you know, panels and things like that, they're really two very separate events. And because there's going to be things that South by Southwest has that San Diego will never have.
Yeah.
And vice versa.
Totally.
Because it just doesn't make sense. You know, can they coexist? Clearly they do coexist very well. Will one overtake the other? No.
What we've learned and what I'm sure you're going to hear more about is people really like controversy for no goddamn reason.
For no reason.
Yeah. People like to be outraged about things.
They will then
forget about those things the next time there's something to be outraged by, which is how I know that people don't actually care what they're talking about.
Right.
You know, people who are dedicated to causes, even when they're not popular, I respect that, even if I don't like your opinion. But you, random person who now decided to be outraged about a topic you really give no shit about so you can have more Twitter followers.
Right.
Fuck you.
Right. And controversy was abound.
Asshole.
This week.
Yeah.
And a lot of it incendiary.
Yeah.
A lot of it got way out of hand.
Duh.
We plan on talking about Batgirl in segment 2.
Yep.
But since we brought up controversy, there were two other things that I just want to mention now because we're talking about controversy.
Sure, yeah.
You know, the ridiculousness of it.
No, I disagree. Sorry.
Of course.
This is a joke, man.
The first thing is Cinderella.
Yeah.
Now, you didn't hear about
no,
this.
I just found this out now and I still think it's ridiculous.
So there's been a lot of hoopla this past week.
Yeah, I did not know that Disney does not portray... I just didn't know that they didn't have realistic portrayals of what women should be like
right.
in any of their media.
Right.
You know, I thought that giant ice castles do come out of the ground.
Of course.
Everyone has an amazing voice.
Did not.
And everyone is unblemished, perfect, and, you know, is just very recently starting to be their own person and not attached to the fact that they need their own Prince Charming to save them. I thought that wasn't the case. I didn't know.
You know, it's funny with fairy tales.
Yeah.
They seem to be very fairy tale-esque.
That doesn't seem right.
That doesn't seem right at all, correct?
No.
Right?
So where's the PETA controversy for Disney with talking animals and stuff?
Oh, we'll get to the PETA controversy. Okay. That's in the news as well.
It's ridiculous.
Oh, speaking of the PETA controversy, we have a voicemail to play tonight.
Yes,
you know
indeed.
What? Let's play that voicemail now.
Sure.
And then we'll lead into a controversy segment.
There we go.
With the exception of Batgirl, which we're saving for segment two.
I like that.
All right.
Hey, guys. Jeff from Albuquerque at Fuzzy Press on Twitter. Hey, I'm just confused by the stuff that's coming out. Now we've got an all-male sausage fest going on with the Ghostbusters. We're going to have Magic Mike now. I mean, as though we didn't have to put up with enough with that last sci-fi interesting piece of crap that he put out. Beautiful, but nothing really there. Now I hear that we're going to get a live-action Dumbo, so I guess Depp is not getting enough work on the Pirates movies, even though he got hurt, I heard, on the news feed. And whatever, Helen Bonham Carter, I guess she must be needing some work, too. And I also saw that they're getting PETA violations, wanting them to change the ending to make it less harmful to Dumbo and keep it easy for the kids and stuff. Just take it easy, guys. Just wanted to call and say howdy. Bye, guys.
All right, so there you go.
Yep.
Some controversy. Now, we're going to save the first part of his voicemail, which is the, as he calls it, the Ghostbusters Sausage Fest movie that's coming up. That's in the news, so we're going to save that.
Okay.
But we're going to go to the controversy part of the voicemail,
yep.
which is the PETA thing.
Yeah.
First of all, before we get to the PETA thing, why do we need a live-action Dumbo movie?
We don't
need it.
They're also making live, I think Disney's new plan.
It's live-action everything.
Dumbo's not Disney, is it?
It is,
it right? Is. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Their new plan is to remake every animated movie that you liked live-action.
Live-action.
There's Beauty and the Beast.
Coming,
it got casting and all that crap.
That's right.
Cinderella just came out.
Yep.
Now they're making Dumbo with Tim Burton because I guess he's right. Johnny Depp needs a job. I don't understand.
And they have a history of
Wait. Is he directing Helena Bonham Carter, his now ex-wife, in that movie?
No. So this guy's voicemail makes a
he was
lot
just
of...
Being
he's making some presumptions.
So there's no...
I guess we're going to talk about Dumbo very quick. Yeah. Oh, no, we're talking about Dumbo. He makes some presumptions. There's
gotcha.
Been no casting confirmed.
Oh, okay.
So Helena right. Bonham Carter and
Sorry.
Johnny Depp...
I just took his word for it.
Now,
shouldn't have done that.
Now, both of those actors are notoriously Burton's muses.
Right.
At least... modern or you know
yeah.
in recent past so will they be in it? Yeah, maybe. I don't know, maybe Johnny Depp will voice Dumbo or actually maybe he'll voice the mouse, Timothy the mouse.
Okay.
And Helena Bonham Carter, she can voice Dumbo's mom, Mrs.
There you go.
Jumbo, I think her name is
there
in
you
the
go
book. But the controversy around, so the movie doesn't need to be made. Disney doesn't have to live action everything.
I don't get it.
It's actually kind of sad because although Disney had this little history of doing live action things, they did like a live action 101 Dalmatians and there were other things.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But I thought Disney got very clever for one particular movie where they actually live actioned sort of their entire history with Enchanted. Did you see Enchanted? Enchanted was
Very... Yeah, that was awesome.
It was very well done.
Yeah.
It was very... pokey funny
mm-hmm.
at themselves and thus was successful.
Yeah.
It's kind of, now I haven't seen Cinderella. I've heard
Neither
decent things about it. But I have not seen it.
Yep.
I did see Alice in Wonderland. I didn't hate Alice in Wonderland, although it was very much more Through the Looking Glass than it was Alice in Wonderland. It was a bit of a different story.
Right.
That all being said, they don't need to live action everything, but the controversy is that PETA is asking for, Tim Burton and Disney to change the ending of the Dumbo story in the movie. So for those of you unfamiliar with Dumbo, you know, Dumbo was separated from his mom early on in the book because his mom goes crazy on some young boys at the circus for making fun of Dumbo and his big ass ears. And so throughout the story, Dumbo was trying to reunite with his mom. The story ends with Dumbo reuniting with his mom. But they're still part of the circus. Dumbo is like the Tony Stark of the circus by the end of the book. Like, he's the big number one act, and like, you know, he's well treated and he gets whatever he wants. And the thing he wants is to be reunited with his mom. And, you know, I think the final scene is the two of them like riding off on the train together. And it's very sweet and kind of, aw, they're nice and they're together.
I don't get
it. But PETA is like, but elephants are not treated nice in the circus. And so can't you have them like released to like a sanctuary at the end of the movie? To which I say, no.
That's no.
I understand your opinions about elephants in the real life actual circus,
which they're pretty much doing.
I get that, right? Yeah. And I may not necessarily agree with all of your opinions. And to be quite honest with you, PETA is some of the biggest pieces of shit anyway. They're not really about animal rights 9 times out of 10. They're about money, like a lot of fundraisers and charities. Unfortunately, I think there's much better animal rights charities out there than PETA. That being said, PETA's about shock and awe. That being said,
I don't believe you.
Why do you have to change the movie? Can't you just let the story be what the story is?
I don't
It's know. A happy ending. Can't it just be a happy ending?
Well, I mean, I think their point is kids will think that elephants are fine with being in the circus, but if kids think that elephants can talk,
right,
then I don't really think their opinion is valid.
I don't really think that kids are going to look into it that much.
No, I don't know.
So, I mean, if you want to start a petition to have them not make a live action Dumbo, I might actually sign that. Yeah,
that I'm okay with.
But
to change the ending for no reason to align with, I don't like that.
No, it's just,
it's not a good reason.
No, it's the cause du jour, and that's, I'm not okay with
stupid.
It.
Stupid.
Leave the story the way it is. It's just fine. It's a happy ending.
Yeah.
Be happy that it's happy.
Yeah,
the ending could be Mrs. Jumbo gets shot. And someone sells her.
It's true. Tusks.
Know, yeah, exactly.
Tusks, I mean, to people who make it. Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's not the ending. Let's just go with the. I think there's a live action Jungle Book coming out as well.
There's
but that
two.
Is not Disney.
The there live are two Jungle Book Books movies.
Is it real?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
There are two Jungle Book movies, and they both have gigantic, interesting casts led by different people. One is the, what is his name? The super famous. He's mostly famous for doing CG characters like Caesar from Planet of the Apes and Gollum. I cannot remember his name.
Oh, the actor, you mean?
Yep.
Oh, Andy Serkis.
He's leading one.
Okay.
And then there's another one that I don't remember off the top of my
head.
He's directing it, or
mm-hmm. he's... Oh, that's interesting.
Yep.
See, it's a shame for me because I like all those Disney movies in their animated form, especially anything that Disney directly was involved in.
So
everything up to and including... It's past Oliver and Company. Oh, maybe it's not past Oliver and Company. I don't know. I forget the last one that he actually was involved in. But whatever it is, I like Disney movies.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need to be live actioned.
You forgot the other controversy.
Well, no, there's more. There's two more
controversies. There's more. Okay.
There's the Cinderella controversy,
yep.
which is kind of where we started before we played the voicemail. So the controversy is that Cinderella's waist is too small. Apparently, according to some people, they're insisting...
Mm-hmm.
Despite everybody saying that it is not the case, that it was digitally altered to look smaller than it is. Now, the actress herself, Lily James, is that it? I forget her name, but the actress herself has come out and said, no, I have a naturally small frame. That's my actual waist. The dress is really big on the bottom, which makes it look a little bit smaller. And I'm in a corset, which is meant to make your waist look smaller.
Yeah.
So... No, it's my waist and tough. And she's not saying it wasn't hard. She mentions that she, you know, she went on a liquid diet when she was in the corset and stuff like that. But it is her. It's not digitally altered. And people, despite that, are like, no, it had to be because people's waists aren't that thing. And then the other thing that she said that I think was really important is that what people are doing to her is the opposite of or is body shaming. But they don't realize it because they're attacking a skinny person as opposed to a heavyset person or an obese person, right? Because that's normally the target of body shaming. And she's saying, and I think she flat out says, like, get a life. I think she actually said, get a life. Like, leave me alone. Like, I'm small. Can't I be small? And apparently the answer is no. No, no, you cannot.
No, you can't.
You have to be middle-sized.
It's ridiculous.
You can't be fat. Yeah. You can't be skinny. Mm-hmm. You've got to be somewhere in the middle. Otherwise, we're going to shame you.
It's a Disney. I don't.
She's portraying a fairy tale.
Yeah. But even forget that. The whole thing doesn't make sense.
I'm going to throw this
who
out
Who is
there.
Upset? Like, who is the group that's attacking them?
It's female groups. It's
is female, it the same people who say that, like, every magazine cover should not have airbrushing in Photoshop?
Yes. It's the same.
And so now they've picked a platform but done no research.
Critique. Correct. And I'm going to go so far as to say this, which I know will get
Why wouldn't those groups be behind her, helping her? Like, I don't understand that. If you're supposed to be about the real... Like,
because they're saying that Disney is portraying her unrealistically.
In their fairy tale version of an animated movie.
It doesn't matter, because what they're saying but is even, that even, kids
yeah.
will see that she's that skinny and think that that is the appropriate size that you should be.
They will but also, that's the size that she was.
Of course. But they don't believe her. That's the idiotic part of this controversy is that they don't believe her. I actually had an argument with someone online, and the response was, well, they're lying. And I said, why would they lie? God forbid it came out that they were lying. It would be way worse.
Yeah, I don't know.
They would just own up to it, I think.
Yeah.
And here's my controversial, you're going to hate me for saying this. Even if Disney said, you know what? We did alter it to fit the image that we wanted to portray as a fairy tale. I'd be like, okay, maybe it's questionable, but that's their prerogative and it's a fairy tale. And I'd actually be okay with it if that's what they want to do.
I don't know if I'm going to, I don't know if I'm going to agree with you that much. But what I will say is, I don't think Disney intentionally put $5 million in the budget. I am exaggerating.
Right.
$5 million in the budget to digitally alter a waist if they could just force the actress to go on a shitty diet.
Right.
Like, logistically, forget about the actual, like, sexist issue of this whole thing, sure. which I, outside of this, I actually would have thoughts about. I don't think they would spend the money to do it at all.
No.
Disney would be like, no, you're actually going to get that fucking skinny. No. They do it to everyone. Male and female actors have terrible diets all the time. Christian Bale has changed his body more than fucking Clayface. I'm just like, there's no reason that they would have to digitally do this.
And no one, and I'm glad you brought up Christian Bale, because no one ever gives him shit for The Machinist at all. Zero. There are zero fucks given when it comes to Christian Bale's body shape in that movie, which was disgusting.
Or American Hustle.
Right?
Exactly. Which is the opposite.
Right? And regarding fairy tales, and let's talk a little bit about superheroes, because this is geek stuff. I have no issue with fairy tales and superheroes being portrayed unrealistically on both sides of the spectrum.
Yeah.
I have no problem with it.
It's if they're modern gods and myths, why would they? Yeah.
Let's look at Batman, for example, because there have been so many Batman films.
Sure.
With the exception of Ben Affleck, which is still going to be enhanced by a suit. We know that, right? The reason that Batman wears a suit in the movies that has muscles built into the suit is because they're trying to capture the image that Batman's natural body type is in the comic books. In the comic books, his suit doesn't have muscles built into the armor.
That's just his body.
That's just his body.
Yeah.
Same with Spider-Man, same with Thor. Well,
have you ever seen the image? You ever seen the image of, like, what if Captain America was actually his proportions in the comic book?
Yeah.
And it's like his head is tiny. And
it'd be ridiculous.
Right.
But the flip side of that coin is, what if Barbie's proportions were...
Right.
Right. But so yes, it is completely unrealistic.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when you're portraying something that is, for all intents and purposes, something unattainable anyway, I mean, because if that's the case, then you shouldn't have CGI. Monkeys can't talk, so Planet of the Apes can't be made, right? I mean,
listen, I don't disagree with
dinosaurs don't exist.
Let's
scrap Jurassic Park.
I don't disagree with your point. I do think that there is more pressure on females in general for this unattainable. Like, I don't disagree with some of these groups who are talking about that. But yes, in general, superhero fairy tale, like, yeah, they're supposed to be unattainable mythical things,
right?
And and honestly, it is you, parent, whose job it is to talk to your fucking kids about that, and not Disney, to should never make a movie with unrealistic body images in it.
But I think the problem is that I think a lot of times
in a specific instance
is that I don't want to get into the gender part of this. It's going too far off track. It's ridiculous is what I'm going
with. Cinderella thing specifically.
Yes, yeah. Specifically.
Yeah.
And then the last bit of controversy, which is really gender related, and this is just silly, and I'm just throwing it out there because it popped into my mind. It was another argument I got into with someone today. I gotta stay off the internet.
Yeah.
I actually took a break from Twitter entirely yesterday.
Yep.
Because I started talking to someone about the Batgirl thing, and immediately realized that because I have a penis, no matter what I said, it was going to be invalid. I just stopped and I got off Twitter. I know. Go ahead, hate me for it. I don't care at this point. But anyway. I guess Meghan Trainor has some new song out called Dear Future Husband. And what? It's all about her talking. It's kind of like her writing a letter to like what to her husband should expect.
What the fuck?
It's a stupid song. It's a pop song. Sure. I think it's intentionally stupid.
Yeah.
So there's some site out there, Exo Jane or I don't know what. But anyway, so someone wrote about how the song is terrible to women and how Meghan Trainor should be ashamed for writing blah, blah, blah.
She probably didn't write it.
Probably not. And she probably doesn't care either.
Spoiler, she probably didn't write it.
And she probably doesn't care even if she did, because I'm sure it was meant to be tongue in cheek. But like the very first line of the article was, I'm going to break down this song by lyrics and tell you my problems with it. And the first line of the song, the first three words of the song are Dear Future Husband. And there's a 2-paragraph tirade about the words Dear Future Husband. And how, like, it's unacceptable that, or it's setting a bet. What if she doesn't want to get married? What if she doesn't want to have a husband? What if some girl doesn't want to have a husband?
Then they're entitled to not. Yeah, exactly.
So the argument that I got into specifically today, and
well, actually, we all know how much influence Meghan Trainor has. You know, right. She's a gigantic icon, really.
I know.
Who the fuck is this again?
Yeah.
She's all about that bass. That's all I know about her. Yeah. She doesn't like treble and she should buy Beats headphones. That's pretty much what I've learned about this person.
Nice. So the argument I got into today, and I found more support from my female friends, believe it or not, this time around, than I did my male friends. And so my argument was the song is ridiculous, so you shouldn't take it at face value anyway. And even if everything that she wrote in that song was serious, even if, you know, even if she wants to do the shopping when she gets married and she wants to stay at home while her husband goes to work, there's nothing wrong with that viewpoint. The same way that some girls want to be pretty, pretty princesses and some girls want to be, you know, Air Force pilots. There's nothing wrong with either opinion.
Right.
And you shouldn't shame either side.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, what happens is, it goes so far in one direction sometimes that you end up undermining your own point.
So why can't all these outraged people who spend hours writing essays about these things like do work towards a good cause?
Because the internet is so much easier.
I was just curious.
And then when they go to sleep at night and they wake up in the morning, they forget about it anyway.
I don't get it. It's like all about having this influence on the internet. Like in other countries, there's actual protests and actual things and like 70% voter turnout and like people are doing stuff. And we're here getting really angry on the internet about shit that doesn't matter the following day.
I think it's because
to generate content for ad revenue and or to feel really important. I like get together, go do the UN cause about like equal right. The one that Emma, whatever, right. That's awesome. Go do that. If you spent 3 hours writing this fucking essay, go convince people to actually get on board a cause that makes differences and not just throws paint on people. I don't
because I think that the conviction behind some of the opinions isn't always as true as it is. I think people are trying to pick a side or define themselves online in this online persona that they've created for themselves.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that everybody, right? I'm not saying everybody. I'm saying some people.
Yeah.
And on both sides. I've read some, you know. Even the Gamergate shit, those guys, I don't necessarily think that all those guys mean everything that they said. What they said was heinous and horrendous, but I think that they said it under the auspice and comfort of their online persona. And I don't necessarily, and I think that they felt some sort of like camaraderie, but I don't necessarily know that every single one of those guys actually felt. I think they were saying it because it was shock and awe, some of them. I don't necessarily think that they all believed it. Doesn't make it okay.
Yeah.
But, I think that's on the flip side as well. It doesn't make your opinion wrong. Opinion is actually based on actual conviction that you're not just going to forget when you wake up in the morning, then fine. But you're right. There are better ways to spend your time than getting into pissing matches on Twitter.
I don't get it.
Tumblr, Facebook, Meerkat, et cetera.
Whatever.
Et cetera.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move past this controversy.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some other news.
Sure.
Let's talk about the Sausage Fest that is Ghostbusters. But we'll continue the voicemail conversation.
Okay.
What he's talking about, this kind of leads into the controversy somehow. There's just too much controversy, Scapegoat. Too much controversy.
Yeah, there's too much.
I guess midweek last week, we got some news that there's going to be another Ghostbusters film that's going to go into production. It's going to be an all-male cast. Different director. Channing Tatum is potentially attached to it. So is Chris Pratt, although I don't necessarily believe either of those things. And the thought is that they want to build a Ghostbusters universe. So it's going to be multiple things that take place within a confined universe. My initial reaction to this was, well, that makes no fucking sense. And then my follow-up to it was, well, if the new Ghostbusters movie is in New York and like the other Ghostbusters movie is in like LA or San Francisco or wherever, okay, I guess the Ghostbusters from New York can't fight ghosts everywhere.
Can I ask you a question?
What?
Other than the people making this movie have the nostalgia for the series and stuff,
right?
Was it this big of a deal, like financially, that they can build a Ghostbusters alternate fucking universe cinema?
I think it absolutely makes no sense. I think that it's complete overkill for a franchise that doesn't need it.
So there's some small group of really vocal people who are also all talking about Ghostbusters, and then some studios like, we could do one too. Let's do a couple more.
It's Sony, who's not exactly known for some of their, the best decision making.
Yeah.
So the interesting part is that Paul Feig, the gentleman who's directing the female Ghostbusters cast, claims that he didn't know about this other movie.
I believe that. I totally believe him.
But he didn't say anything else bad about it. He's just like, I think his quote was, I didn't realize there was so much ghost busting that had to happen. Which, but is it? So the controversy was, since I brought it up, some people are saying that Sony is doing this because of the backlash that they got for doing an all-female cast, which is, Sony has said, that's just not the case. We just wanted to create a universe to expand and sell more toys. That part they didn't say, but that's what I believe. More Happy Meals. Do we need a Ghostbusters universe? No. Do we need a Ghostbusters anything, to be honest with you? No. If we're not getting a Ghostbusters 3, a true Ghostbusters 3, which even that I was hesitant and skeptical about, then we don't need Ghostbusters anything. Just let it be.
Well, it's not going to happen.
Of course, clearly not.
So now we're not only rebooting shit that doesn't need to be rebooted, we're doing it twice.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Because twice is nice. Speaking of reboots.
Sure.
Sony Pictures.
Yep.
Is going to remake, more Sony, is going to remake Blue Thunder, that 1983 epic Roy Scheider project.
Yay, said no one.
Said no one ever.
I
don't care about Blue Thunder.
But why?
Because
Hollywood they ran out of properties and they already have the licensing rights.
Yeah, and they lost. And they're losing.
That's
Spider-Man.
Disgusting. They're losing No, they're going to make plenty of money on not doing anything with Spider-Man.
Plenty of money on not doing Spider-Man.
It's ridiculous.
Tron 3 apparently is
happening. Yeah. Yay.
And is going into production in Vancouver.
Cool.
Later this fall. Whatever. I am okay with Tron 3.
Yeah.
I liked Tron 2. Mm-hmm. I really liked Tron Uprising.
Tron 2 had nothing to do with Tron, though.
That's not true.
Like, the sequel set up a possible Tron 2, and they didn't do anything with that.
Wait, what?
Like, I don't remember Tron 2 having anything to do with the Tron reboot.
It wasn't... Wait, what reboot are you... Wait, I'm confused.
Yeah.
Tron 2 was a direct sequel to the original Tron film.
Correct.
Okay.
And wasn't there a sequel after that?
No, there was the cartoon.
No, I thought there was... Oh, you're right.
No, there's the cartoon.
I apologize.
Tron Uprising.
Yes.
Which took place in the grid universe that was set up in Tron 2. Korra even makes an appearance in Tron Uprising.
Okay.
You're confusing it with something else.
I am.
Okay, good. Well, not good, but...
Yes.
But I'm glad we're back on track.
So Tron... Okay, so Tron 2...
Yes.
...was the cliffhanger ending with... Tron showing up and
in the Tron, right? So Tron 2 ends with Sam Flynn, the original Flynn's son,
yep,
coming back to the real world,
yep,
with Korra in tow,
yep.
Remember, it's them on the bike at the end of the movie,
yeah,
right? So that's apparently where this one will pick up. You also get the tease of original, what's his name, son, played by Cillian Murphy,
right?
Starts with an S. What is the original villain's name?
Yeah.
Sark? Was it Sark?
It sounds right.
Anyway, Tron 3 is going into production.
Gotcha.
This fall in Vancouver. Cool. It looks like the same director is
Joseph Kaczynski, right?
Yep, is on board. Garrett Hedlund is tied to it, who played young Flynn. It's assumed that Jeff Bridges and Olivia Wilde will return as well.
Cool.
Because unless they recast Korra, that's going to be a problem.
Yep.
And then I hope Bruce Boxleitner comes back, because at the end of the movie, Tron goes from being the bad Tron to potentially the good Tron again as he's falling.
Yeah.
Remember, his color goes
back
to blue. Yeah.
Yeah.
So hopefully he's in it, even if it's on the grid.
So for some reason, I remembered Tron 2 as the reboot.
Okay.
Which it sort of is both, kind of thing. Like, it is a sequel.
It is a sequel.
But it also managed to distance itself enough to be a reboot. And for some reason, I don't know why I imagined
that. Yeah, it's hard. It's also hard to do a sequel like 30 years after the original.
That's true.
You know, so it.
No, I don't have anything bad to say. Yeah. That's why when you said 3, I was like, when did 2 happen? But this
for me, yeah. One of the more important things that I hope is involved with it as well is I really hope they get Daft Punk.
To do the soundtrack again?
Because
that soundtrack is nuts.
Phenomenal. And they released two versions of it.
Yep, there's the remix one.
The remix one, which was called...
Derezzed.
Derezzed, yeah. Yep. And it's great. It's a great soundtrack.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So that would be awesome to get them back. So that's Tron.
Yeah.
Lucy Lawless has been cast to join Bruce Campbell and those other folk that we have previously mentioned in the Evil Dead series. 10 half-hour episodes that will be on Stars, I think, next year. I mean, I guess it's cool because Lucy Lawless is all right. I'm just excited for the series. I mean, I think that it's really going to be My Name is Bruce, but with Ash. but that's okay. I'm okay with that. I like that movie. I thought it was funny and silly and
sure
in its own way. We got that epic Daredevil trailer.
Yeah, that's coming soon.
That's a month away, April 10th.
So S.H.I.E.L.D.'s going to wrap up and then that starts?
Well, I think there's going to be an overlap because normally the seasons end closer to the beginning of May.
Yeah.
So I suspect there will be a little bit of an overlap, but I'm excited. Trailer looks phenomenal.
Yeah, it's pretty badass. I'm excited.
We get to see more of Vincent D'Onofrio as Kingpin, you know, big bald guy.
He's Kingpinny.
Yeah, he's Kingpinny.
Mm-hmm.
But I think most importantly is they drove home that real dirty, gritty, dark, noir-y feeling that they're going for.
Daredevil-iness.
Yeah, I mean, they really hit it home hard
In
that new trailer. So
they're making us think it's going dark.
Yeah.
Knights. Good. Knights is the name of the line. Am I getting this right now?
Marvel Knights.
That's the darker one?
Yes.
Okay, good. Correct. I got it right this time.
Yeah, actually.
I got to stop saying Marvel's Vertigo because that's not.
Well, there are two.
Yeah.
So. Marvel's original Vertigo was called Marvel Max.
Yeah, I remember that. Punisher was under that.
Punisher was part of that. A couple other books. Yeah. And then that kind of went away and got phased out. But then they did bring on this book called Marvel Knights, or it was like a subset of books, Marvel Knights. And those books were also
a bit
gritty. They weren't quite as
gritty. Was Blade in that?
Gritty. I believe Blade was in that. Okay. It was Spider-Man had a book in that. Daredevil was in that. I believe Blade was in that. I actually think Luke Cage might have been in that as well. So there.
So Netflix. Is the Marvel Max of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yes. And cool. I'm okay with all of those things. I hope they get Punisher for it next because I think that would make sense.
That would be good.
I'd also really like to see Moon Knight, I think, as a Marvel Max or a Marvel Netflix series. I think that would be a really interesting character to bring into the universe.
I think they got a lot of shit on their plate. They got time.
Oh, absolutely. I'm just making a wish list. I think would fit into the Netflix format.
I totally agree. Yeah.
I'm still scared about Iron Fist. Iron Fist has always been a goofy ass character to me. So I'm not quite sure how that's gonna.
We'll see.
Iron Fisty. He's kind of goofy.
He's weird.
He's got magical kung fu powers. I mean, if he was a dog, he'd be Hong Kong Fooey. I'm just saying.
Oh, wow.
Like, I'm not sure.
If he were a dog, though, that's the defense.
If that human were
a dog.
In the Disney version.
In the full Disney, not the Marvel Disney.
Number one super guy.
Wow.
So.
Hong Kong food.
Some big Star Wars news last week.
Yes.
I love the Sublime cover of that theme song for that soundtrack. But anyway, big Star Wars news.
And other also the same company news.
Yes. So we got a confirmation of episode 8, a release date, May 26th, 2017, with a writer and director, Ryan Johnson. And then we also got the director for the first standalone film, Gareth Edwards, and the first title for that film, Rogue One, and the first casting for that film, Felicity Jones.
So what are they doing at Celebration again? Now that they've given away all their...
I still think that we're going to see a teaser.
You think that trailer's coming?
I think that trailer's coming. I also think there's the potential to give us...
Do you think it's going to be a tease for a tease for a tease like they did with the James Bond fucking poster that literally revealed nothing?
The James Bond poster looked like a promo for the next week's Archer. There was nothing about it.
It did. By the way, the teaser for the poster was more revealing than the poster.
Yeah, the poster is just James Bond in a black turtleneck.
He's just standing there. He looks like Archer. You're absolutely right. Archer. I don't understand.
That was absolutely ridiculous.
Yep.
No, I think we'll get a couple of things out of Celebration. I suspect we're going to get a real trailer.
Yeah.
I honestly do.
No.
I think a full trailer that will involve original cast members.
Okay.
I also think there's the potential to give us another title of another standalone film.
Okay.
Because they got a lot of stuff going on. A movie a year.
Didn't they announce a bunch of books also?
Apparently there's going to be like something like 20, some sort of stories / books that is going to bridge the gap between Jedi and Force Awakens.
Yeah.
I hope they're not. It's not 20 full novels because who the fuck has time to read that in 6 months? Is it even 6 months? I don't even think it's 6 months. I don't even think they're going to release them all in 6 months.
No.
So I don't know what that bit's about. To be honest with you, I kind of ignored it. I saw the story, I perused it, and I was like, fuck this.
You'll watch the kind YouTube recap user who goes, so let me tell you what happens in between returns.
That's exactly what I will do. Yeah. I will do the Cliff Notes version.
What's his name? He did that for Lord of the Rings. I think it's GCP or CGP Grey. He's a really big YouTube guy. Yeah. Shout out to that guy. Please make one for Star Wars.
And then, of course, in response to this, Fox moved Fantastic Four back a couple of weeks because it was a little too close to the opening of episode 8.
Seriously?
They bumped it back 2 weeks. It wasn't even the same
Fantastic
weekend.
Fantastic Four in 2017?
Fantastic Four 2 is in 2017.
They already greenlit the sequel?
Oh, yeah.
How the fuck did I...
Because they have big, giant, dumb balls.
So what the fuck? By the way, okay, so I watched that trailer again when I went to see Chappie.
Yes, yes.
And the music was really good, and okay. I was like, this sounds really familiar, and I know why it sounds familiar.
Why?
It is the theme to Broadchurch.
For Fantastic Four?
Yes, the Fantastic Four trailer is using the theme to Broadchurch.
Nice.
In the trailer, and that is why.
Legit using the theme?
It is actually the same song from the same composer, and they licensed it from Broadchurch in the Fantastic Four trailer.
Now, Broadchurch, not Grace Point.
Correct.
Wow, that's ballsy.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing else about that movie is original, so...
Hey!
Actually, that's not true. It's all original because it's not the fucking Fantastic Four. So anyway, they moved it back a couple of weeks because it was a little too close for comfort to the opening of episode 8. Can't say that I blame them because I suspect every single Star Wars movie that comes out from now until the end of time will have big box office for several weeks.
I feel like people would rather see Star Wars twice than go see Fantastic Four 2.
I suspect
and the first one hasn't even come out, and it may not be terrible. It doesn't matter. People will go see Star Wars twice before they see Fantastic Four. Same audience will be like,
unless episode...
I'd rather hear again than whatever the fuck is going to happen in Fantastic Four 2.
Unless episode 7 is so terribly, abysmally bad, which I don't think will be the case.
I don't think so either.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would also not be surprised if we learn in a couple of months that Fantastic Four 2 gets the red light.
Could be.
Because if Fantastic Four, the reboot, really does poorly, as I suspect it might.
I don't know if it's going to do so poorly.
You think it'll still do well?
I think people will go see that. I don't think it will do well. Like, listen, if Amazing Spider-Man 2, Sony considered a failure.
Right.
Which I understand why in the Spider-Man world, but it made a fuck ton of money.
Right.
And they're expecting that for Fantastic Four. They will say it bombed and may red light it. But I think it's going to make more money than we think it is. Like, we're looking at it from content-wise. Yeah. This looks stupid. But people watching that trailer are like, it does kind of look like a good superhero movie. And like Interstellar, maybe I'll think while I'm watching. I think people will go pay to see it. I have no idea who I was just making fun of there, by the way.
All right, but here's my thing with that. I think that it will make back its money.
Yeah.
So if it costs $2 to make it, we'll make $2 back. I'm not saying
I think it'll make $3.50. That's what I'm saying.
But you know what I mean? But right. Okay. So
I'm saying $3.50, so, not $50 right. bucks. That's
here's the
I'm
problem.
Saying.
Spider-Man 2, even as bad as it was, yep. Spider-Man still, and Spider-Man 2 was not financially a flop. It just didn't make as much as they wanted it to make.
That's what I'm saying.
Right. Okay. But I think Spider-Man still sells because it's Spider-Man.
Fantastic Four doesn't sell.
Fantastic Four will have a good opening weekend because enough people will be interested.
Yeah.
But is it going to have repeat viewings? Is it going to have a huge drop off for weekend two?
If it gets panned like we expect it not to be good, then no, I think you're going to see that movie not make much money domestically at least.
Yeah. I just don't know. I don't know if Fox is going to be willing to put a lot of money into the CGI that's required for that movie.
Unless they greenlit two, planning to reuse assets from one.
Perhaps. That could very much be
who knows? Who knows?
All right. We're running long. But I want to talk about one more thing before we take our first break.
Can we talk about what I think you're about to talk
about? I want to talk about The Flash.
Okay. Can we talk about that?
Okay, is that what you wanted to talk about?
I wanted to talk about
okay.
that.
Okay. Yeah. So spoiler alert.
I'll talk about powers later. Yeah.
Oh, we can talk about powers first. You want to do powers first?
Sure. I'll do it quickly because powers is the very adapted adaptation of Powers.
Right.
Brian Michael Bendis is directly, of course, related into the series, and he'll be writing later episodes and all that kind of stuff. It is exclusively available on the PlayStation Network. If you have a PlayStation Now subscription, you get it for free.
Right.
If not, I don't remember how much it is. I think it's like $20 for the entire season or something like that. The first episode, and I believe first three, are actually on YouTube.
Oh, okay. I know the first one was in
low resolution. You can't watch it in HD, but it is on YouTube.
The first one, I think, was released officially.
Yes, the first one's definitely on YouTube. I think someone told me the other two are out there. If not, I apologize. But it's okay.
Yeah, I haven't heard great things about it.
So I've seen four episodes now. So the first three and one aired yesterday, I think. And basically, it's okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like that it is darker. You know, they definitely took the, if this were on HBO, because I think it was originally going to be on AMC.
Yes.
And then they went to Sony instead. But what I've basically noticed is they don't really have the budget to do the story they want to tell.
Right.
So what pulls you out of the story a lot, and Arrow and Flash had this problem with me initially when I watched it, so I'm a little more critical. So if you don't care, keep that in mind. You're kind of like, wow, this is really, you needed more time in the oven. Like it pulls you out of the world when you're like, that looks like flying from 1980. Like what the fuck are they doing?
What happened?
So it's okay. It's pretty good. But they don't really have the budget to pull off some of the stuff. It's pretty good. The other thing I'd say is some of the acting is a little like, it feels very like they're suffering from pilotitis, which they shouldn't be. Like this is a self-contained, this is like a Netflix style, self-contained whole season is already done. I think it's even maybe greenlit for two. I don't know why. Charlton Copley is a really good actor, but something feels disconnected about some of his scenes. Eddie Izzard, I think, does an amazing job in this. He does a really good job.
I like him in almost anything.
Yeah, he was great in Hannibal. He's really good in this. So I would definitely watch it. I would encourage you. It's a darker, I guess it'll fill your spot for Constantine. It is nowhere related at all to that show, but it is a darker Kurson kind of fun look.
Right.
And I like the powers concept. And that's what this really introduced, like we're on the outlier and people have power. And like, what does that psychologically do? It's kind of a fun thing to explore.
Right.
And I appreciate them taking the risk. I do think it feels like something that's going to grow and get a lot better later in the season, or season two will really figure it out. And right now they're struggling with, should we pour all our money into doing this risky venture? That's kind of what it feels like to me.
So everything I've heard, because I haven't had a chance to watch it yet, although I do have access to all three of the first three episodes.
Yep.
I don't have four yet, but I suspect I will. It's not getting panned. So pretty much in line with your review.
Yeah.
Overall, what I've seen is it not getting panned. It's just kind of like, you should check it out. I'll probably watch some more. So,
I guess that's
better than, it's clearly better than getting panned. Clearly, it's not what Sony wants, but it may be enough for it to allow it to grow into a second season.
So I hope so. I think it definitely could grow into that. And I like whatever changes they've made. And I looked up a little bit of it. I don't remember.
Right. The books
don't
were
have a
fantastic.
Problem with. Yeah. So
books were fantastic.
Really cool. Really cool.
Artwork, storytelling, books.
That being books said, I don't want to take too much time on this. Other show that you should watch immediately.
Yes.
Better Call Saul.
Yes.
Jesus Christ. I don't understand how this team who did Breaking Bad, who I'll tell you my bias, I think is one of the greatest fantastic fucking show. They're making another fantastic fucking show right afterwards.
I think I might, holy crap. Even though I haven't seen Breaking Bad, and I know I don't have to in order to watch Better Call Saul, I think I might try to jump on Better Call Saul while I still can before it gets too far. And I regret it. And then I'll go back and watch Breaking Bad. It's still on my list.
There are two episodes left this season. So if you want to wait to do the whole season at once, you can do that.
I'll binge it like one weekend.
Yeah, it's Jesus, damn good show.
I did not watch iZombie yet.
I have not seen that either.
And I have not had a chance to watch S.H.I.E.L.D. yet.
I saw a promo for iZombie finally.
Yeah.
Because it came out of nowhere for me. I remember talking about it months ago when it was announced. And right. I was like, yeah, one day. It looked kind of cute.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of want to watch it.
I've heard pretty
good things about the premise doesn't make me want to watch it. The promo, like the 30-second, you know, because I was watching coming up next week on Arrow or whatever. I was like, actually, yeah, maybe.
Yeah. I think my explanation of the premise, not that it was bad or incorrect, but I think it's hard to visualize it or grasp it without actually seeing it play out.
Yeah, I agree.
So
plus you don't know what tone they're taking.
Of course.
It's, you know.
But the book was a little bit, I don't want to say silly, but it wasn't so dark.
No, it doesn't take itself too seriously.
No, not at all.
And that's what the promo revealed. And once I saw that, like, she's microwaving it in pasta, like the brains that she's eating, I'm like, oh, this is cute. I get it. Once she solves the case, she rewards herself. Like, it's funny.
There are
like,
undertones
that
I think will work.
And I like that. And I don't think I'd ever say this before. I kind of, the CW, and I'm building you a segue here. The CW is kind of ballsy.
Yeah, good for them.
They're ballsy as shit with some of the stuff that they do.
Yeah, man.
So Flash.
So if you haven't seen this week's Flash yet, tune the fuck out.
Yeah, this is going to be spoilery.
Because...
got to talk about it.
Because there's no way to discuss this episode without spoilers. Because they crammed in an entire season's worth of oh shit moments.
They really did.
Into about 11 minutes.
I would say, so don't skip yet.
Not even 42 minutes.
No.
11 minutes.
No. So what I would say is, if you were watching S.H.I.E.L.D. us in the first season, right?
Yeah.
And you were like, this is kind of okay, but
we're in season two of the show now.
No, I know.
Yeah.
If you were watching the first season, you were like, this is kind of okay, but I feel like it's just treading water, not really going anywhere. They just kind of tease shit. Nothing happens.
Yeah.
And then the Captain America thing happened and you were like, what the fuck was that? That is as big of a thing that happened on Flash.
Yeah.
Except bigger. Yeah. In my opinion.
Yeah.
And that kind of blew my mind. Now you should stop listening.
Now you should absolutely stop listening. So the first 30 minutes or so of the episode.
Yep.
Was good. It was okay.
Well, listen. I didn't think they were going to go as far as they did. I thought they were going to tease it and then they'll get back to something and like hide it in a corner. No.
No.
No. They deal with Iris and Barry Allen.
Yep.
Like immediately head on.
Yep.
By the way, I thought they were going to kill his partner. I just wanted to throw that out there. And that's how they were going to end
it. Partner?
I think that's how they're going to end it. I can't remember anyone's name. Barry's adopted father's partner, who is also Iris's boyfriend. I thought he was going to die by the weather guy. And that's why they were going to break up and all that stuff. So that was impressive on its own that they fucking dealt with that. Not to mention what happens later. Everything with like when they're going to a coffee shop and then he leaves his wheelchair. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Why?
Well, that was...
what are they going to do for season two? I'm almost afraid.
All right. So watching the episode, right?
Yeah.
I'm watching it. I'm trudging along. And I'm like, oh, this is fun. This is cute. Oh, this is good. This is setting up.
Yeah.
The point where he leaves the wheelchair.
Yep.
That was it for me.
Yeah.
I was like...
oh, they're going there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Like, that's huge.
Yeah, they're not getting away with this.
What's her name knows, right? Now...
well, she knows something's up.
Right. Well, clearly she knows he can fucking walk.
Right.
So everything about him up to that point, and already at that point in the episode, she is already questioning, is this guy a good guy or a bad guy? Because Cisco has previously said, I think some shit's going on.
Yeah.
And the premise is, you've got to keep him at this coffee shop
while I do
some stuff.
Right. And I think the best part about this is all of the stuff that happened in previous episodes then mattered. Like
absolutely.
All the dumb little teases where you're like, okay, we get it. He's clearly up to something. And like, they don't tell you why it mattered. All of a sudden they brought security footage back. They talked about other villains and why they were actually dealing with them. They said how hard it was to hide certain things. They went back. And I was like, those fuckers, like,
this is amazing.
Like, what the hell's going on?
So obviously he's Harrison Wells. And why am I forgetting her name right now?
With
Caitlin.
Yes.
Caitlin
Snow. There you go.
Caitlin is in a coffee shop with Welsh, trying to keep him away from Star Labs while Cisco tries to figure out how the containment field that was supposed to hold Reverse Flash broke.
Yep.
Right. And allowing Reverse Flash to escape. And it ends with Wells obviously is picking up on it,
yep.
right? He leaves the coffee shop, but he walks out.
Yeah.
You don't see him walk out. But when she returns to the table that they're sitting at, it's just the wheelchair.
Oh, I think he speedsters out.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
So immediately you're like, oh, wow, this is a huge step forward in this story.
No pun intended.
Right.
Yeah.
So then the next kind of big thing that's going on outside of the Wells story, right, is with Weather Wizard, this episode's villain. And he shows up.
Even that line is adorable. I've been waiting to use that since week one. Like they're making fun of themselves. Ugh. So good.
So he shows up at the Star City police headquarters.
Yes.
And he fucks some shit up.
Yeah, he's trying to get vengeance for his brother, which was in the pilot, right?
It was in the original pilot, and then it's revealed in an episode later. He comes back, I think, because that's Joe doesn't kill him in the pilot.
Right.
Joe kills him like two or three episodes in.
Yeah.
When he first learns that Barry's So Commissioner Loeb gets really badly injured.
Is that Commissioner Loeb?
Yeah, I believe it's Loeb.
Isn't that Gotham? Didn't you just skip all the way to Gotham?
Is it Loeb on Gotham? I apologize.
Yeah, I don't think it's Commissioner Loeb.
Oh, okay, I apologize.
It's also Captain something.
Or Captain.
It's Captain somebody. Yeah.
For some reason, I didn't think that it was Loeb. I mean, I know that Jeff Loeb is tied back to... He's an actual writer for...
DC, yeah.
But for some reason... Whatever the captain's name is.
Yeah, the captain. Of the captain force, guy.
Yep. Yeah. He gets really badly injured.
Yes.
Like, bad.
Yep.
And ends up in the hospital. He kind of takes a hit for Joe.
Yeah.
He doesn't want Joe to get hurt. He takes a hit for Joe.
And he may be paralyzed.
Yep.
And by the way, I thought they handled the whole significant other thing.
Well, I was going to get to that. Yep. So this doesn't really move the story forward, but I think it was just some progressive storytelling that I kind of liked.
Yep.
So he's in the hospital, and we've known that he's gay. I mean, they've talked about it in earlier episodes, but his significant other shows up at the hospital.
Yep.
He wants to go in and see him. The doctor's like, no, you can't. It's only for family. And Joe's like, yeah, but he's his fiance and he should count. And the doctor's like, oh, okay. And lets him in.
I don't even think that was anything political at all. I think that's the same thing you see if the girlfriend were there and he's like, I want to see him. And the doctor's like, you're not family. And they're like, but they're about to be married. And they let them in. And that's why I thought it was so progressive.
Correct. They didn't,
not because it's like, look at us. Hey, we're progressive.
Right. They didn't browbeat you with it. It just kind of happened in the heat of the moment. And I think it just
also
solidified the relationship.
The acting was good enough where you could tell that's what happening right away.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I know people who would probably... I've watched it before where I'm like, this is stilted acting. There's never been any affection. Who is this guy? Oh, that's supposed to be the boyfriend. Like,
right.
No, you knew immediately.
And I think it was really important that... I think Joe's role in it was really important.
Yeah.
Joe is... It just plays very well with Joe's character
type. Totally.
Back to Sisko.
Yes.
So Sisko is in Star Labs, and this is the next big oh shit moment. Mm-hmm. He's investigating... the containment unit that was supposed to hold Reverse Flash, and there's still nothing fucking wrong with the unit. And he's like, what the fuck is wrong? And then all of a sudden, something is wrong with the unit. And he's like, oh, I'm going to explore further.
Is he imagining that hologram thing?
No, he's absolutely not imagining it. I think what we learned is that it was just a fucking hologram that Wells used to trick everybody.
So he was okay. I see what you're saying.
So what happens is the containment unit fails in Sisko's test, and all of a sudden Reverse Flash is standing in the unit.
Yeah.
But what Sisko realizes pretty quickly is that he is saying and doing all of the things that he saw him do already.
Yep.
So I think what you're supposed to infer is that he's a hologram, or he's a program.
I'm not 100% sure on that, because later what you're about to say, he says that was an after image.
No, I think the after image is
later.
I think the after image is something different.
Okay.
I think the after image is something
different. All right, fair enough.
And the after image doesn't seem to be able to sustain long enough.
That's true. To do all that talking.
To do all of that talking and stuff.
Okay. Because
we don't think that the after image can talk.
Right.
It's there's a lot that's going on.
Got it. Understood.
I guess either way, my impression was that
that makes more sense.
To fool everybody.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because no one was going to try to mess with them, because you think that's a Reverse Flash.
Right.
Right. So what we think we learn,
maybe,
is that Wells obviously is fooling everybody.
Yep.
And then Wells shows up.
Yeah.
Walking.
Yep.
Hey. I mean, we knew he was walking, but he's walking. Hey.
Yeah.
Oh, you figured it out. You're so clever.
Yep. Then he monologues.
He monologues a bit, but the important part of the monologue, other than he reconfirms, oh, we kind of skipped something big. Very early on in the episode, Barry is zooming to rescue somebody.
Yeah.
And he sees himself running next to him.
Oh, I knew what that was immediately.
Right? And you're like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yep.
And what we eventually learn is that it's...
him.
Well, yeah, it is him.
Yep.
But that's not what we're told at first. What we're told is that it's a mirage at first. It's like a speed mirage, I think is what Wells actually calls it. So anyway, Wells shows up. He shows Sisko the idea of the mirage, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe it was in two places at once. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yep.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure on that part.
Okay.
I'm not sure on that. But he shows him the idea of the mirage, right? Yep. He separates himself.
Mm-hmm.
But when he separates himself, the other one doesn't talk.
No, it doesn't.
So I don't get it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I think the point is they've seen them in together before. Right. And he was like, oh, I can fake it.
Right. So there's that. I think the important part of Wells's monologue, though, and I think it was genuine and heartfelt. I don't think it was just to knock Sisko down a bit.
No, I don't think
so. I think he actually... feels something for Sisko in a like respect scientist-y son kind of way. I think that entire part of Wells's monologue was heartfelt.
Well,
in a weird way.
What's really interesting is he is clearly the main villain.
Right.
But he's not really a villain. Like, he just wants to go back to his time, man.
No, but he's a villain though.
But he's not right now. No, he's not. In the show right now, he has some artifacts from his time period, right? His computer, which is clearly not time travel. It's like relaying in from, well, I mean, it is time travel, but it's like relaying from his era, right?
Right.
He has built the particle accelerator probably to try to time travel, but he didn't have all the equipment he needed, but he had the science from his time period.
Right.
He gets all these people, he gets integrated in their, all the other stuff happens. And I think he means what he says. He cares for these people. He cares for Barry Allen, all this kind of shit.
I think you're wrong.
I don't.
I'll tell you why.
And he cares for Barry Allen, but he needs to use him a means to an end. Listen, he's been trapped in an era where he's what, hundreds of years in the future he's supposed to be?
At least.
What they insinuate. Yeah. And he's been marooned here and he's trying whatever he can do to get back. And in the meantime, he is actually helping people. Yes, he's using people. He's Machiavellian. I'm not saying he's not a villain. I'm saying he's not like, my goal is to bring the world back. He wants to go home. So my point is, you can sort of identify with him.
I'm going to disagree with you. And I'm going to tell you why.
Sure.
Because Sisko says to him, it was you that was there the night Nora Allen died. You killed Nora Allen. And his response was, I wasn't there to kill Nora.
Right.
I was there to kill Barry.
Yeah.
So I think he came back in time to try to kill Barry.
And then couldn't get back home.
And is now trying to figure out how to get back home and figures out that he could use Barry to do that. And he's been training him to do what he needs to do to get back home. I think his original intent was to come back and wipe out Barry because he's an egotistical maniac and he wants to be the only speedster.
Okay. Well, if they reveal that motivation, I am very wrong. But if there's a reason, like if Flash causes... what we know, what will later happen as Flashpoint or something nuts, and he's in his time period, the entire fucking time universe explodes because of what happens to Barry Allen, and he's like, we need to kill Barry Allen, otherwise the universe will explode. He's actually the good guy in that time period, and then he gets marooned in time.
Yeah, I mean,
and if they go that way, that's a more interesting, complicated story than he's evil and wants to kill Barry Allen.
It is, but that would be a really strong departure from Professor Zoom from the books. Not saying that
they already have
to the book, of course, absolutely. So that was a bit of a reveal.
Yep.
The other reveal that I'm glad they addressed so that we could stop speculating about it is Eddie Thawne.
Yeah. Because
he reveals his true name is Yobird Thawne. Yeah. And he says, Sisko says something about Eddie, and he's like, we could say he's a long lost
distant relative,
which I still think there's more to that too.
Yep.
I still think Eddie becomes somebody else. I just don't know who yet.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, the next big reveal, or the next big oh shit moment, is he kills Sisko.
Yeah.
And he doesn't just kill Sisko.
Well, he may have killed Sisko.
Oh, no, he kills him.
Yes, but I don't think he's dead.
Oh, we'll get to that.
Okay.
We'll get to that.
All right.
Before we get to that,
yep.
He absolutely kills him. And I think he intentionally kills him.
Totally.
And the way he kills him is fucking brutal.
Yeah.
He vibrates his hand fast enough to insert it into Sisko's chest and then stops it.
Yeah.
Stops his heart.
Yeah.
And kills him.
Yep.
So that's fucked up.
It's totally fucked up.
So that happens.
Yep.
The next big oh shit moment.
Mm-hmm.
is Barry reveals his true feelings to Iris. Iris reciprocates.
Yep.
They kiss, make out.
Yep.
Right? This is all going on. Joe has been kidnapped.
Yeah.
Right? Barry has to save him, blah, blah, yeah, blah. Yeah. So now Barry learns from Caitlin that the only way to... Oh, and by the way, Barry doesn't know anything that's just gone on with Cisco.
Yes.
He doesn't know that Wells can walk.
Nope.
Because Caitlin doesn't get to tell him.
Nope.
All he knows is that Weather Wizard is trying to kill the entire city. Mm-hmm. I have to stop him.
Yep.
The solution is run really fast, stop the tsunami. He has to run back and forth.
Yep.
Well, in doing so,
mm-hmm.
he breaks the space-time continuum, as it were.
Yep.
And he goes back in time. Mm-hmm. And he goes back in time to the point that you see earlier in the episode.
Yep.
So it really was him. He really was seeing himself just having traveled back.
Mm-hmm.
That being said...
And that's... You're missing a big shit moment.
What am I missing?
He does that in front of Iris.
He saying, so, right.
Hey, I didn't want you to find out this way. And then...
So Iris finds out.
Yep.
So now here's...
Which is another season finale moment.
It is a season
Jesus
finale
Christ.
Moment.
Yeah.
But here's the biggest ball moment. The biggest, ballsiest moment of all of this. They just gave you all of these reveals.
Mm-hmm.
All of these things that you've been waiting for to play out on screen all season.
There's like four episodes left.
To take it all away from you.
Yeah, I hope they don't do that.
It's all gone. That's how Cisco is still alive.
No, it's fuck
all,
that.
Nope, it's all gone.
No, fuck that.
He goes back to 2 days before.
Yeah.
He's back to 2 days before or a day before all of that shit goes down. This is what I think is going to happen.
No, that's not fair.
But that's why it's
that's
ballsy.
That's bullshit.
No,
that's because... not ballsy. That's the opposite of ballsy.
No, I think it's ballsy.
That's some Deus Ex Machina nonsense.
No, I'll tell you. No. I think it's ballsy.
No, it's
I'll
not.
I think it's ballsy. And I because it's going to...
Why is it ballsy?
Because I think
because they... all the characters will unlearn the big learns that they had?
No, because I think the learns are going to just come about a little bit differently now.
Bullshit.
As part of Zoom's, Professor Zoom's, whatever the fuck his name is, Reverse Flash's storyline. Because this is what I think is going to happen. Barry's going to go back. And Barry still doesn't know anything that's going to go on. And now Barry will never know. He will never know that Cisco died.
Did, just quickly, bowling happens after.
Bowling happens before.
So bowling already happened.
Bowling already happened, I believe.
Okay, so the Iris...
So will, that part...
Will Iris still know that he's Flash?
No. No, anything that... Anything.
So they undid the entire episode. But why would they make me watch that? I'm not okay with this.
Because
I... No. Because, why is this ballsy to you and not the opposite?
Because I think that it's great that they gave you everything that you wanted and then yanked it away.
No, fuck them. They should do the right thing. They wrote themselves into this awesome corner. Now keep going.
I don't think they wrote themselves into a corner at all.
But it was... It's... But no, I'm not okay with this.
Because the only way that they could maintain it...
Yeah.
I can't even tell you. How do they maintain it?
Now that he went back in the past?
Unless the next thing that happens in the beginning of the next episode is that he immediately travels back to his time on the beach, he has to...
No, I think there's a bunch of scenes that happen afterwards with him like spilling coffee all over the captain for him to go home were intentionally lingered on so that they can happen differently this time and he'll dodge it. The next episode is going to be him going to that crime scene and holding his coffee, or he'll spill it and go, wait, this happened before.
Well, then let me
ask
you this.
Or some shit like that. You know what I mean?
How does Cisco come back? Because he absolutely comes back. He's in the promo.
You had a great theory.
Yes, but my theory falls apart if Cisco is not alive. And I absolutely think that Cisco is dead.
You don't think the Speed Force...
Not now. Not at this point. Not this Cisco. So here's my theory.
Ugh.
My theory is that Barry, without knowing anything... is going to undo everything because he's going to stop Weather Wizard the first time he goes to Gotham, to Star Police Department, so that Captain What's-His-Face never gets hurt.
Right.
He's going to prevent all of that from happening.
Yeah, I agree
Joe
with that.
Joe never gets kidnapped.
Yeah.
Right? All of that happens. But I think as a direct result, all the other stuff. So Iris is not going to know because he's going to have no reason to be on the beach with Iris to tell her. He's not going to have that. He's not going to have that moment to tell her.
That's
Cisco doesn't
such
die.
Bullshit.
What I think is going to happen is he's going to tell Wells, I just fucking went back in time. We have to talk about this.
And then Reverse Flash versus Flash happens.
Wells is going to go, Wells, not knowing that he just killed Cisco, blah, 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 either, is going to say, oh shit. He has achieved what I need him to achieve.
And we got him to monologue to tell us why this is a big deal now.
Right. And so now he can use Barry to do what he has to do. I think Cisco is still going to want to pursue it.
But that lets them bullshit around for four more episodes.
No, because yes and no. Fuck. Because I think Cisco is still going to want to pursue it.
One of the episodes is called All-Star Team-Up. Are you aware of this? Is this the backdoor pilot to the other show?
Adam has still yet to make his appearance on the show. And he's going to make an appearance soon.
I guess that's what it is.
So that's what I suspect.
That's probably taken down.
I also think, because I think we've been teased, that we're going to get a new superhero on the show. And I think that hero is going to be Vibe.
And you think it's going to be Cisco?
It's absolutely going to be Cisco. And I think what's going to happen is, instead of dying, although my theory could work either way, but I think instead of dying, he's going to try to stop Wells again. Mm-hmm. But for whatever reason, doesn't get killed this time, gets affected by the Speed Force, since Vibe in the new 52 universe is tied into the Speed Force. And I think he will be exposed to the Speed Force through whatever Wells tries to do to him and will become Vibe. It will unlock his powers and he'll become Vibe. That's what I think is going to happen.
Interesting.
We'll see.
Yeah.
There's four episodes left.
Yeah.
There's a lot to happen.
It's good. It's a good show.
It is a good show.
There's a new Arrow tonight.
There is a new Arrow tonight. We're at like an hour plus.
Are we really?
At this point, yes.
All right.
And it's late for you as well.
Sure.
So, you know what? I'm going to toss this out there then. We're going to do this a little bit differently tonight. No break tonight.
Oh.
So this is what we're going to do.
Yep.
We wanted to talk about Batgirl. But Big Kev is unfortunately not here tonight. He got tied up with some work-related things. But
indeed.
He really wants to talk about it as well. So what we want from you is we want your opinion on the Batgirl controversy. Where do you fall? Should it have been pulled? Should it not have been pulled? Should it not have been made at all to begin with?
Yep.
We want you to leave us a voicemail at the GVM line.
425-920-6050.
And please leave us some voicemails. We want to get a bunch. We want to get as many opinions as possible on either side of the fence, ideally. But whatever opinion you have, please call and leave it for next week's episode. We will address Batgirl, I think, at length next week. It was a pretty big controversy, and there's a lot to discuss there, and I don't want to rush it.
No, I agree.
Now.
Yeah.
So with that, don't forget, you can check us out online each and every week over to bkgeekstuff.com.
Do it.
You can find us on the Twitter at GeekStuffOG, at BKGeekStuff, and at ScapegoatGS. Of course, we just gave you the GVM line.
425-920-6050.
So you can find us there. All the other usual plugs, please continue to support us on Amazon. That's huge for us.
Do it.
We have Geek Flea coming up April 18th.
Indeed.
So please come and visit us there. I don't think Big Kev will be there because he will be at Celebration. I will definitely be there. I'm trying to convince Scapegoat to come and hang out.
I may be there for some beef empanadas.
So yes, empanadas. And I think with that, Scapegoat.
Sure.
We can end this episode.
Yep.
The way we end all episodes of Big Kev's Geek Stuff by saying, good night, Terry Pratchett, wherever you are.
And on that note, we cue the music.